I trust you have your Bibles today. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Let's return to this text. We started actually about a month ago, but we'll read verses 8 through 10 just to remind us kind of where we were, and then we'll pick up maybe where we left off. Apostle Paul is talking about our walk in Jesus Christ. He is comparing it to light. We have a lot of light here today, which is wonderful. It's a wonderful autumn day. Paul says, once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And so walk as children of the light, because the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. We talked a little bit last time about the fact that light has a character of its own, and it's totally opposite and different than the character of darkness. The Christian life is totally different than the life we had before when we were in the world, when we were in darkness. And so Paul not only says that once you were in darkness and now you are in the light, but Paul actually says that the character of your life, the way you used to be, is you were darkness. You weren't just in the darkness, you actually were darkness. And the way you lived, the way you talked, the way you spoke, the way you thought, it was dark. It had no light of God in your life. But now, thanks to the love of Jesus Christ that we just heard, the wonderful music, I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Because of his love, because of what we're going to celebrate today, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed for us on the cross. Because of that, now we are not only in the light, but we are light. That's the primary characteristic of the Christian's life. And it is because we are in Jesus Christ. If you look at Ephesians and you go from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 6, you will find that Paul repeats the phrase in Jesus Christ many, many times. Just go through and underline it with a particular color pen or marker that you have. And it'll amaze you how often Paul associates our life, our new life, our Christian life, with our union with Jesus Christ. It's got nothing to do with us. It's got everything to do with Jesus Christ. And so light brings change in our life. And Paul equates light here to the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the light is the same as the fruit of the Spirit. When you are in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is in you and he produces his light in you. And like I told the crowd at 10 o'clock hour, when we leave today, let's go and let's be light. Children usually, because of their DNA, because of their genes, have certain characteristics of their parents. Hopefully all the good ones and none of the bad ones. When it comes to our Heavenly Father, there are no bad genes. They're all good. They're wonderful. They're what we need to live our life like. And the primary characteristic is light. And the character here, it refers to three words, goodness. Goodness is the character of God. It is the essence of God. God is good and there's no evil in him. And we are to imitate him as his true children. We are to be in the truth, which is God's word. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus' word is the truth. Jesus says in John 1:1, we are to abide or to continue in his word. To continue in God's word means to read it, to meditate on it, to memorize it, to apply it in your life. Like that man in Psalm number 1 that God calls blessed. Being blessed means to be content. Remember, youth, we studied that word. Contentment leads to godliness, and it's the blessedness. So being content with your spirituality is a blessedness, but only if you're walking in the light as he is in the light. And when we're in the light as Jesus is light, then we have fellowship with him, 1 John tells us. And then Paul says, he says, in all of this, when you're walking in the light, when you're finding out the goodness of God and the righteousness of God and the truth of God and his word, he says the end result of that, the bottom line, the foundation in your life is going to be that you know the will of God for you. Two things, knowing. We're going through Romans right now in the Bible Hour, and Paul repeatedly uses the phrase, brothers, you know. Brothers indicates that he's talking to Christians. He's not talking to the people out there in the world. He's talking to those that know. What do they know? They know about the goodness of God. They know about the righteousness of God. They know about the light of God. They know about the Word of God, and they're practicing it in their life. And when you practice God's Word in your life, then you are living God's will in your life. You say, well, how do I know what is God's will for me in my life? How do I know what career to choose? How do I know which guy to marry or which girl to marry? How do I know what church to go to? How do I know whether I should buy that new car I want or whether I should donate that money to the missionary that needs some support? Or all of these things, all of these details in your life, they're related and they're tied to the will of God. God has a will for your life. God's will, you guys know what a will is. It's what happens when you die. When you die, it's how you legally give to somebody else everything you have. God has a will for our life. God gave us everything he has through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. And we have what we call the New Testament of his blood that we're going to celebrate today. God has revealed his will for us. And if you are living God's will, that's wonderful. If you're not, then why not? If you know God's will for your life, that's wonderful. If you don't know what God's will for your life is, there's something wrong. You have to wake up in the morning and know what God wants you to do that day. Yes, we know we have to praise God. We know we have to sing. We have to go to church. We have to read his word. We have to pray. These are obvious things. But what about the day-to-day decisions in your life? How do you choose your career or your husband or your wife or all these other things that we have talked about? Well, God's word is very clear. Paul writes to Timothy, every word in Scripture, every dot, every comma, every semicolon, everything that we find in Scripture is God's word. And God's word is God's will for your life. So you can begin by reading Scripture, by knowing Scripture, and by obeying every word and every phrase and every chapter and every book in the Bible. And that should be a lifetime job for all of us. If we went home right now and never came back, I'm sure none of us would accomplish everything that's written here. That's number one. That's in the general context of what God's will for you is. Our conduct, our Christian life, it's supposed to be based on God's word rather than what the world tells us. The world gives us an alternative. Okay? The world wants us to live a different way. And very often Christians take a poll, like the politicians do, and they find out which way the wind is blowing before they make their vote. Okay? That's not the way the Christian life is. The Christian life, no matter what the world does. Remember, the young men that were facing the fiery furnace with Nebuchadnezzar. They said, oh king, you can throw us in the fire, but we're still going to worship God. The way God said to worship. God might take us home through the furnace. God might take us to heaven through the furnace. But we're not going to worship your way. You know, there were thousands of young men and young ladies that went to Babylon. Thousands. When you read historically, Nebuchadnezzar came and he destroyed Jerusalem. He took tens of thousands there. And yet in the book of Daniel, we read about four. Some of you kids sing a song, Dare to be a Daniel. Okay? That's a clear illustration of what Paul is telling us here. We don't base our life on what the world says. Look at what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And he's talking about the time that we live in right now, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. The time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is what is right, what is good, what is the will of God. There are some people today that do not endure, and that word means they cannot stand. They cannot bear. They are incapable of doing God's will. They reject it. But you, O man of God, Paul writes to Timothy, you do it. Endure the hardship of being a soldier for the sake of Jesus Christ. Prepare like an athlete prepares for the Olympics. Put in the effort so that when you are like me, at the end of my life, you can say, I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. And now I await the crown of righteousness that God has prepared for me. You know, the world we live in, it's mostly gray color. You know what gray color is? It's the color between white and the color between black. It's right in the middle. Okay? The Bible doesn't have gray. It has light and it has darkness. God has no gray. God has right and God has wrong. God doesn't have gray. Our world is 99.9% gray. The world tries to take the good. The world tries to take what's right. The world tries to take the truth. And they try to make it just a little bit less light, a little bit less truth, a little bit less right. You know what God says through Isaiah? Look at Isaiah chapter 5. Look what God says about those people that act that way. Chapter 5 of Isaiah, verses 23 and 24. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light, or who substitute darkness for light and substitute light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes. That's talking about the gray in the world today in our society. They say, it's okay. God's word says, it's not okay. God doesn't have okay in the Bible. Do you know where the word or the two letters okay came from? It came many, many years ago when somebody did not know how to spell. And this person was in business. And he had to sign something and say that it was all correct. And so he just used okay to say it is all correct. Well, the Bible is okay because it's all correct in God's eyes. Okay? And so the world, it tries to make everything kind of gray. But God's light is supernatural. We are children of God because He has supernaturally saved us. God has supernaturally empowered us with the Holy Spirit. God has taught us His will in His Word. God wants us to live His will. Okay, we are supernaturally part of God's church. God will supernaturally take us when we die or at the rapture of the church to live with Him. Supernaturally, forever. This is outside the framework of how the world thinks. Because it's God's way. It's God's light. And so the question today is, Paul says, for you to know the will of God here in verse 10, to find it out, to work it out in your life. God wants to work His will in your life. Do you know it? The will of God begins, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Write it down. Go home and read it. God's will begins with your salvation. If you don't know God, if you're not saved, God's not going to reveal the rest of His will for you in your life until you're saved. 2 Peter 3, 9 tells us that God is patient. God is patient for a long time wanting you to be saved. And then when you're saved, then God will reveal His will to you. Read Romans chapter 12. It says God's will is good. It is pleasing and it is acceptable to Him when you fulfill it in your life. And so may God bless His word. Amen.